We're going to look at this morning, One Nation Under God. As we study this today, we've looked through the scriptures and past years at what our nation is and where our nation is going. And each and every year, I think it's a good thing to review where we are. What's happening today, we are not satisfied. It's a light word to use. We are, quite frankly, we're very disappointed. We're in fact downright angry at some of the things that are being passed down. And we're not happy. We shouldn't be happy. None of us should be pleased or even pacified or even okay with this baby killing that's going on in our country. We're not for that. We're adamantly against abortion. We're adamantly against same-sex marriage. And I know all of you are as well. And we all have family members and others that are pro those things. And we pray for them. We don't judge them. We're not critical of them. But we pray for them and we try to reach them with the gospel. But the thing is, and the fact of the matter is, our country is going down very quickly. A lot of people say we're getting better and better. That's not the truth, and you know that. The Bible's very clear. It's getting worse and worse, and evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse as that day approaches. Now, what that's doing and what God is doing is getting us ready for His return. And I hope you're ready for that day. I don't know what you believe about the Bible. A lot of people think it's fairy tale and fantasy. Peter says that a lot of people say that it's just cunningly devised fables. But then he emphasizes and says, no. We were eyewitnesses to this. This Bible is accurate. This Bible is true. And what you believe about the Bible, and I hope you do, God is going to take us home, I believe, soon. Now, I know every pastor and every generation has said the same thing, but I believe it's true. You see some of the things that are happening today. Anyways, I hope you're ready. Now, Galatians chapter 5, I want you to notice what Paul says here. This is a group of churches in a region called Galatia. And he writes one letter to this group of churches to try and encourage them because if you recall back in reading, they had drifted from the truth. You remember the story? He said, how could you have fallen so quickly from the truth? Now notice what he says in chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast. Stand fast means to stand your ground, be rooted, be grounded, stand fast. Therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He says to the church here, stand fast, be faithful. In what? The liberty Christ hath made you free in. Now, a lot of people misquote the scripture and say, I have been set free. Nothing wrong with that. But the Bible doesn't say set free. The Bible says made free. Jesus reiterates that in the Gospel of John. He says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, there's a difference. You're not set free. If you're set free, there's a potential and a high probability that you could go right back into bondage. To be made free is who you are. You're a free person. Now, think about this. We're going to look at it in a minute, but he says, there's liberty with Christ, and we ought to be standing free. Now, I want to make the point this morning that as America, as a nation in general, we've been set free. We know that. We're the greatest country, literally, in world history. If you've studied world history, we're the greatest country to ever exist. The comparable nations would be that of the Roman Empire. But the Roman Empire still was not as powerful as we are. Some of you dear men and women that were in the military, you know this to be true. We have the most powerful military in all the world, don't we? We're coming down to some decisions right now in our nation. And when we understand this, that seeing that we still are the most blessed, most fruitful, most abundant nation to ever exist. Now, here's the point. We are free. We have liberty. The warning is given to us in Scripture. Don't go back into bondage through your sinfulness and disobedience. And we've done that. If you were reading through your Bible, I just got through the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings closes out. There's four books called the books of the kings. 1 Samuel, 1 2 Kings. 2 Kings closes out the history or the record of the nation of Israel. At the end of 2 Kings, you know the nation goes directly into bondage like they were warned against. They go into, the Babylonians come down. You have the Syrians coming down from the north. You have the Babylonians and the Babylonians from the east. You have others coming up from the south, Moabites, Ammonites, other things like this, that come in and literally take the nation of Israel, predominantly the Babylonians at the time, into captivity. And it closes out the book. If you read the last chapter of 2 Kings, it's pretty blunt. It just ends. I mean, there's no like conclusion. It just ends. They go into captivity. And you think about it, they were warned repeatedly throughout the scriptures. Moses warned them. Samuel warned them. David warned them. And what did they do? They disobeyed God. In fact, at the latter part of 2 Kings, one of the last kings was King Manasseh, one of the most wicked men to ever live. He built temples all around the countryside for the pagan gods in which they worshiped. In fact, he went so far as to go into the temple where the Holy of Holies is, the Ark of the Covenant. And in that place where God came literally down and communed with the people, he set up a pagan god in there. That's how wicked they were. Well, a little short while later, there's a young boy by the name of Josiah. You know the story? And the people are so sick, and this is what it takes. The people of the land, not the government, the people of the land are so sick and tired of the sin and debauchery, they call a little 8-year-old boy. Now, he was heir to the throne, but he was only 8 years old. Okay, 8-year-old boys, good kids, but they can hardly tie their shoes, okay? They don't know left from right. You take an 8-year-old boy and put him on the throne. Well, lo and behold, he became one of the, if not the greatest king of the nation. It says at the end of Josiah's life, there was never not a king before him, and there was not a king after him that went after God and his will like Josiah. Now how? The people around that 8-year-old boy trained him up in the way he should go. And the Bible says we train up a child in the way he should go, he or she should go. When they are old, when they come to the age of maturity, what we call the age of accountability, they won't depart from it. They know the way. They go the way, and eventually then they show the way to other people. What I'm saying today is that a nation that deviates from the word and follows not the ways of God, it's not an if, it's a when the demise is coming. It might, no. See, Christians today, we're not real nervous about things. The ungodly world, they get real nervous about what's going on. They get real anxious. What's going to happen to our economy and our mortgage rates and all these? We're not real nervous because we already know what's happening. If you're a fearful, anxious Christian today, I guarantee you, you've not spent adequate time in the book. Almost every time. Now I'm preaching to myself because it's true. When you get close to God, you understand what he's doing. And when these kings of Israel, like Josiah, got close to God, when Solomon at the beginning of his reign said, Lord, give me wisdom and knowledge that I may know your will on how to lead these people. Later on, he would turn into sexual perversion, which always takes your heart away from God. Now think about this. When they sought the will of God, they understood the liberty wherewith they stood. They understood what it cost them to be made free. Now notice what he says again in verse 1. Wherewith Christ hath made us free. See, you didn't clean yourself up, sir. You didn't clean yourself up, ma'am. Okay? See, you didn't get good enough. And this is what the problem is today. In the book of 1 John, it's fascinating because he says, be careful about damnable heresies. You know what those are? You know what a heresy is? It's a false teaching. It's heretical teaching. So a false teaching that's damnable, to damn someone to hell, that's what it means, is what? You're teaching them a heresy that says, I can work for my salvation. Well, when they die, they go, oops, that didn't work. That's a damnable heresy. There's people today that preach this. You see JWs on the side of the road. They sit there with their pamphlets. They don't do anything. They just sit there for 6-7 hours a day. How many seen them on the side of the road? What are they doing? You would think, why aren't you reaching? I mean, why aren't you being aggressive about it? Now they do knock on our doors. But why aren't you? Why? Because that's part of them getting into paradise. And when we talked about last week, the wood, hay, and stubble over here and the gold, silver, precious stone over here. See, you and I are going to regret that we stayed home on Sunday. That's wood, hay, stubble. We're going to regret we didn't come to Wednesday night. We didn't come and study our Bibles. We didn't take time this week to do this thing then that thing for God. That's wood, hay, and stubble. Gold, silver, and precious stone is over here. And that's what they do. They work for their salvation. Now, Paul warns them and says, don't go back into bondage. You know what they were trying to do in Galatia? Work for their salvation. The Judaizers came into the region and began to tell them, listen, that's what Paul preached. Grace. Yeah. But see, you need to work. You need to keep the law. Are you a good Jew? Oh, yes, I'm a good Jew. You better keep the law then. They brought in a works-based salvation. And Paul says, in his emphasis, don't go back into that bondage. See, Christ hath made you free. Christ paid the ultimate payment. Christ hung on the cross and died for our sins and did all the work for us. Now, thinking about this, and I must hasten here, we find that we, as a nation, have drifted very, very far. Our motto is still in God we trust. I don't know if you forgot about that, but that's still our motto. There are many today that have pushed against this and even tried to force it out. And we ought to have faith in God. Now, we ought to thank God for our country. And we are proud Americans. We believe in patriotism. We believe in respecting our flag. These bozos that kneel for when the Star-Spangled Banner is played or the flag is drawn up on the pole, they just make us sick. Okay? You and I have forefathers, you and I have family members that have literally given their lives for this country. These people that disrespect our flag, that have taken and put the rainbow flag over the American flag. It makes us sick. It irritates us. Because we understand what? The price that was paid for us to have the freedom we have. Now, thinking about this today, we are proud Americans, but we also must understand we cannot sustain the pace we are going towards the end, towards destruction, for very long. We're in trouble. Paul goes on to say in chapter 6, in fact, just turn over to chapter 6, if you will. Notice verse number 7. Again, very familiar to us. Be not deceived. Well, who's the master manipulator? Who's the master deceiver? It's Satan. In the book of Revelation, it says, he that deceiveth the whole world. You know how he deceives the whole world? People back 50, 60, 70 years ago would scratch their head. How can he deceive the whole world at one time? Boy, they'd be shocked today, wouldn't they? What does he say? Don't be deceived about what? God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. See, you're not going to mock God. You're not going to do something and, well, God won't. I got away with that. It ain't going to affect me. No, no. See, our biggest enemy is ourselves, and we shoot ourselves in the foot. Verse 8, notice, for he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh, reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit, notice, reap life everlasting. Verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, that's God's timing, we shall reap if we faint not. Here's the problem that most of us have. That is that in well-doing, it gets very tiresome. See, all of your buddies and friends at work and at school get to do whatever they want to do, and they get away with it. You and I don't. Why? Because we have a fear of God. If I did that, God would convict me, one, but also if I don't respond to the conviction, he'd probably chasten me. Okay, that's our Father disciplining us for our own sake, for our own will. And you find the most unhappy, depressive children, teenagers, and young adults today, and they all have a common denominator. Number one, usually the home is broken, but there's a common denominator. They weren't disciplined as a child. You think, well, let them do whatever they want. No, they're depressive and angry and upset. They want a parent that tells them no, although they buck at that and fight at it later on. It's for your own good, you know. You think about it's hurting me more than it hurts you. And as a kid, you thought, how is that even possible? How is that possible? They're doing it because they love you. Now, what's happening? God is saying in our well-doing, sometimes it gets wearisome, but trust the Lord and understand that we're not going to mock God, but what we sow, we're going to reap. Okay, now, as we come to this again, we find in Scripture repeatedly that over and over again, we're warned and warned and warned against departing from the things of God. As much as our school system likes to degrade our forefathers and make them out to be bigoted, psychopathic, creepy old men with long beards, they're not. Okay, our forefathers were godly men, and they departed from the motherland and crossed the pond for really one thing, religious freedom. See, they were sick and tired of being under the tyrant of the king, and then a queen, and then another king, and then a queen, and it just got progressively worse. And if you weren't part of the mother church, if you weren't part of the Church of England, they would persecute you. And some of our forefathers came over in those early days for religious freedom and said, we want freedom. Now, where did they get that idea from? Most people made fun of them and even disdained them and persecuted them for saying so. You know, today, people actually get upset for us just following the Bible. Where'd they get that idea of religious freedom? From this book. It's fascinating to me. Remember this. The real English version of our Bible came out in 1611. So think about that. Same Bible, your great, 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 great grandfather had in his hand. You think you can trust this book? Yeah, you can. This book, this nation was founded upon this very Bible. Now think about that. Where did they get the idea that we ought to serve Christ? Where did they get the idea that Christ is our king? Well, they got it from the book of Samuel. You remember they came to Samuel one day and said, hey, give us a king like the nations around us. And see, that's where we get off. We start comparing ourselves among ourselves, and Paul says, well, that's not wise. Give us a king. And Sam says, no, God's your king. Well, yeah, we know that, but we're saying give us a real king that can kind of rule and reign over us. He says, you don't want that. He's going to take your sons and daughters and make them slaves. You're free. Same thing Paul said in Galatians 5. See, you're free. You have liberty. Don't go back into bondage. Don't you remember Egypt? Well, that was our forefathers. They went under great persecution. No. And so he gives them a king. And the king is a miserable failure. Remember Saul? He started out real well. He was head and shoulders above everyone else. But he was a failure. Fascinating study of the Bible. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. See, everyone saw Saul. He was a tall, real broad-shouldered, good-looking guy. And they said, that's our king, man. He's nice. I like him. He'll represent us well. But internally, he was nothing but I won't say that, right? Now go to David. Who was David? Well, from all accounts, we see David was kind of maybe a smaller guy, kind of scrawny. We know he was the runt of the family. Yet, internally, he had a heart of gold. The Bible says of one man in the Bible, just one, he was after God's own heart. That was David. He was a man after God's own heart. Now think about this. As they desired a king, they went directly into bondage again. Isn't that true? I like the old meme. You may have seen that meme where the guy pulls a sheep out of the ditch. Did you see that? And he goes, now be free. And the sheep runs out, turns around, jumps right back in the ditch. You know, I like that. That's us, isn't it? Right back into it. We still trust in God. The Bible goes through, I have verses, but I don't have time to read all of them. Isaiah chapter 5 talks about the woes to a nation, and it leads to a national demise. Let me read you some of these. This was written in Isaiah 5. Now listen, this was many, many, many years ago, was written to a nation. What leads to national demise? Notice, he states these things, materialism, a national covetousness of materialism. Sounds like us today. An epidemic of intoxicating things, drug, alcohol addiction, looking for a way out all the time, trying to ease the pressure and the stress, running to these addictive things. Thirdly, is a sexual perversion and a mockery of the Holy Spirit or the Holy One. A fourth one is the value of relativism, meaning that we follow back to ourselves and say, I want it my way, an arrogance of the elite. There's pride. And the last one is a compromise of justice, which is an injustice. And again, he later says this, what? Woe to them that call evil good and good evil. Is that America today? They call evil good. Hey, wow, wonderful job for standing up for what you believe in. But then we have little old Christians over here who are made fun of and mocked and made and put down. And we think about these things. Okay, let me get to this point here and we'll wrap it up. The greatest civilizations have started out in bondage and made the great circle, if you will, all the way back around to bondage. You may have seen this before, but it starts with bondage, goes to spiritual faith. That spiritual faith leads to courage, and that courage leads to liberty. The liberty then leads to an abundance where we are. A complacency comes, an apathy, a dependency, and all the way back we come to bondage. That's America today. We've come all the way back. We're ungrateful. We're unthankful. We read Wednesday Romans 1 where he says those people become ungrateful and unthankful for who God is. It leads to a denial of God ultimately. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, would you please? 1 Timothy 4, and I better start to try to land this plane here before we go too long. 1 Timothy 4, I want you to see with me some of the warnings given to us. He says in the latter times, Timothy, in the end days, you're going to see some things that happen. 1 Timothy 4, chapter 4, verse 1, he says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Now notice the capital S, Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Now, if you study your Bibles, you know this is called the great apostasy. Apostasy means a willful falling away from the truth. It's not that you stumbled. Oh, I fell into sin. Oops, I fell into heresy. No, it's willfully saying, I understand the Bible and the church. I know what the Bible says. I'm going to go this way. That's what's going to happen in the end time. Now, they depart from the faith. Now, what do? They give heed, they listen to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils or demonic doctrines. Now, what's a demonic doctrine? It's saying you can live life without the Word of God. It's saying you can do things your own way, and we've all been there. I talked to a fellow just recently. He said, well, I think if we just... No. That's wrong. We've got to come back to the Bible. Verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That's scar tissue. And scar tissue, you have no feeling. It's a scar, right? This is what's taking place in the latter times. Notice with me these things that take place. I want to cover this and then we'll wrap it up. But number one, they depart from the faith. John 8:31. Look at that. Then said Jesus to those Jews. What's he say? that believed on him. If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. Now, we've been talking about making disciples. That's a student. That's a follower of Christ. That's a pupil learning at the feet of Jesus. You're truly my disciple if what? Ye continue in my word. You don't start it out and then quit. John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There it is again. The truth shall make you free. And we think about today, they depart from this truth, from the faith. The book of Jude says that you contend for the faith, which was once delivered to the saints. The faith is our set of beliefs. Okay, you have faith in God, and with faith comes a set of belief and doctrines. You don't just believe whatever you want to believe. You follow the doctrinal teachings of the Word of God. As we studied Wednesday night, oh man, that was so fascinating. We're studying the existence of God. And the first claim or argument, we're calling it, these are logical arguments of the existence of God. And the first one is a universal belief in a creator God. And we went through and looked at these different examples. Man, it was exciting, wasn't it? Anybody? Okay. It was fun. And where some of you are at, by the way, on Wednesdays. And it was fun, man. But one of them being this little tiny tribe in the middle of nowhere had this long-standing belief that they taught all of their children. And guess what it was? A white man from the West is going to bring a golden book that's going to tell them the way of God. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, that's baloney. Look it up yourself. You'll find it to be true. Now, where would they get an idea like that? Where would they get this understanding? Do you think God is still actively working to bring men to the truth? Absolutely. That little tribe in the middle of Africa? Absolutely. And I'm telling you today that there are people that will depart from the faith in the latter days. And Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth and it will make you free. Why do people depart from the faith today? They don't continue in the word. You and I must continue in the word. Now, I don't know what you believe about the Bible, sir. I don't know, son, teenager, young lady, grandpa. I don't know what you believe about the Bible, but you better get your nose in this book. Get off Facebook and get your face in the book. Amen. I like that. Get your mind on the things of God. Again, let me preach to myself for a minute. Get your mind in the things of God because it'll benefit you. You live with anxiety. You toss and turn at night in your bed. Can't figure what's going to happen next. How are we going to handle this? The kids are out of control. Can't figure out my marriage. My marriage is falling apart. Things are going haywire. Can't do anything right. I don't know what's going on. Get your nose in the book. He'll tell you what to do. Why do people depart from the faith? They don't continue in the Word. Why were people here this time last year and not here anymore? Now, some have passed, some got sick, some moved away. But I want to tell you something. There's a lot of people that were here last year that aren't here today that live right around here. And I see them driving around all the time. I see them at Walmart and Smith's. I'm cordial and nice to them, but where are they at? I said, sir, are you saved? Well, I think I am. I said, I can show you how to be saved. Nah. Are you saved? Yeah, another guy. I'm saved. Oh, yeah. I said, well, the next step is getting baptized. Oh, no, I'm not ready for that. You're not saved. I'm telling you, where are they at? They departed from the faith. Why? They don't continue in the Word. Most Christians today couldn't find their way out of a wet paper sack on a rainy day, theologically. If I asked one of you today to lead someone to Christ, you would go, hey, could you come lead them to the Lord? Why? We departed. We don't continue in the Word. Sad to say today, we're more interested in playing around in the garage. We're more interested in knitting a few sweaters instead of being in the Word of God. Now think about number two. They give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And sir, I think you're doing a great job with your hands. I think you're working very hard, ma'am, at your work. But I think it's wood, hay, and stubble. And I'll just say that. Seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. John 7. Go to John 7, verse 17. I like this. If any man, that's open to all, will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. What is that? The teachings of Jesus. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Now, the context of this is very interesting. John 7, you remember, his brothers just rejected him. Some of you have family members that have rejected you because of your walk with God. And he's now speaking to the individuals around him. It says, listen, if you'll do my will or his will, the Father, you'll know of the doctrine, you'll know of my teaching, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. And those of you that know the Bible pretty well, and not even pretty well, you just know it like somewhat. When someone starts preaching or teaching out of the book, you know almost immediately, because the Holy Spirit is a discerner, if he's speaking the truth or if she's speaking the truth or if it's mumbo jumbo, right? You hear someone on TV or on the radio or on a podcast and you go, that didn't sound right. Why? That's the Holy Spirit. It's saying, Wrong. I've had people come up, in fact, more times than I'd like to count, and say, Brother Tim, I don't think that you preached that correctly. I don't think that was correct. And we sat down very kindly, and I opened the Bible up and showed them from the Bible. And they say this, well, I know what the Bible says, but my experience trumps the Bible. What I experienced, the vision I had, one fellow, I had a vision, and I know what the Bible says, but oh, the vision, I go with the vision. I said, sir, that's a seducing spirit. Now, they don't like to hear that. And usually they'll leave very abruptly. But I'm telling you something. And I don't mean to say this to in any way of pride, but you ought to thank God that there's someone up here that actually stands up for that stuff. You know what the average church today has? A church, it's called a melting pot, a bunch of different beliefs. Over here, you got people that are charismatic. Over here, you got former JWs and Mormons that still believe that Jesus is the brother of Satan. That's the average mega church today. And you ought to thank God we have a church today that although a little fuddy-duddy, although a little boring, although we're not that exciting, a church that's solid, that's doctrinal. Right? Praise God for that. I'm so thankful for you people because I appreciate all of you standing for the faith. So notice here, and I must wrap it up, that he says later, and you don't have to turn there, but Ephesians 4:14, we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. Think about a rag doll. Tossed to and fro in the ocean, flipped around, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. Okay, that's deception. And cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. See, that's what I just said. People get all tossed up and tossed to and fro. Well, this guy over here says that we should do this. And this pastor over here in California said we should do this. And guy down in Houston said that we should just do this. You're tossed to and fro. You don't have to do that. Paul says in Galatians 5, stand fast. Stand fast is the direct opposite of being tossed to and fro, isn't it? Stand fast. I know what I believe. Paul says to Timothy, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded. Now, Timothy, follow the same. Follow the same. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And what? Denying the faith. Denying the faith. Okay. False Christ, false prophets shall rise, show signs and wonders, and seduce. To seduce, if it were possible, the very elect. That's coming. That's coming. Now, our nation today, we've departed. We've departed. John 8:44, he says, ye are of your father the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Jesus speaks to those men. Some claim to be, there's probably 100, 150 people standing, and Jesus alone on this side. And Jesus was a man. He was not afraid of anybody. He was not intimidated by these clowns. He stood and he pointed at all of them and said, you're of your father, the devil. You're a child of Satan. And these are religious leaders. They took up stones to stone him right then and there. You think he was afraid of that? No. He was God manifested in the flesh. But he says, you're of your father, the devil. You're a liar. He lies and he murders. He was a murderer from the beginning. Who did he murder? Righteous Abel. Cain, who was of that wicked one, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil. Abel's works were righteous. He rose up and murdered him. I say this often, but I'll say it again. Satan desires, the ultimate goal for your life is that he would kill you. If he could take your life today, he would take it because you're a witness for Christ. He hates that you're here today. He hates it. You wonder why you woke up this morning not feeling very well? You wonder why you had a rough night last night? You wonder why it's been a tough weekend? Satan, he hates what you're doing. And he wants to take your life. The only reason you're still sitting here, ma'am, the only reason you're still sitting here without a brain aneurysm or a heart attack last night, right, is because why? God said, nah, not yet. I'm still using him. No. I want to use him this week to encourage Pastor Tim. I want to use him this week to reach someone with the gospel. I want to use him, although pretty crude and pretty in a different way, I want to use that person to reach others for Christ. Now, I'm saying this. He's a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth. This is what we're dealing with today in our world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says the God, lowercase G-O-D of this world, is Satan. And what's his purpose? 2 Corinthians 4 is what? That he would blind the minds of them which believe. He's in the business of blinding people. How does he blind people? Not physical blindness. Well, what's he talking about, sir? He's talking about entertainment, isn't he? I'm going to distract him with entertainment. I'm going to distract him with pornography. I'll distract him with a lot of sick things and twisted. Hey, get my attention over there, right? Distract me with materialism. and all of that. Shoot, distract them with religion. How many people are stooped in religion? I mean, they are on it, but they're not following the book. There's no love. There's no compassion. There's no reaching people. Oh, I go to church every Sunday. How many people have you led to Christ? Right? That's for me. How many? You claim to be a bold Christian, and yet we find it very hard to do that. What am I saying today? I'm not preaching to you folks. I'm preaching about the world today. That we need to understand we're slowly drifting. They fall away from the truth. They depart from the faith. They depart from the doctrine that was once given. And our forefathers fought for this. They bled and died. Our young men bled on the shores of Normandy. Our young men bled on those fields over in Gettysburg. Our young men bled and died for these things that we have today. We know that. Ragtag group of people, 13 colonies came together with a bunch of hand-me-down rifles. Had no uniforms, had no protection, had no cannons, had no tanks, had nothing. And here comes the British Army with all of that. How in the world would 13 colonies defeat a mighty fortress? And by the way, the most powerful army at the time in the world was Great Britain. Those old redcoats. How? I think God was involved, don't you? I think God took those bullets and pinpointed them right towards some of those fellas. I think it's possible. I'm saying today, we have a nation in God we trust, and I hope and pray you're praying for him. Now, let me give you some little homework here to take home. Pray for our nation. I know you do, but continue to pray. Ask God to do something great. Remember, you live in the greatest country. You drive just 4 hours south of us. 4 hours. You could make a day trip out of it today if you wanted to and be back home for supper. Go 4 hours to El Paso, Texas. You ever been down there? I was recently down in that area. You go down to El Paso, Texas, and you drive down on the I-10. You take the I-10, and it parallels this black fence, doesn't it? This black fence, on the other side, about 100 yards over across the fence, is Mexico. You ever seen it? What's it look like? Slums. 100 yards from America, giant big houses up on a hill, 100 yards over the fence is literally a cinder block hut. In fact, most of them, four poles and some corrugated metal over the top, and they call it a house. How is that possible? How is that possible? Friends, don't get too cocky. Don't get too proud. This freedom's going to be taken away from us real soon. I believe it. We live in the greatest country. We're blessed. What we throw away today at lunch, those people across the border would take and feast on it for a week. They live by rice and beans. They live poverty. What we buy at the thrift store, what we drop off at the thrift store is junk. They would take it and they would make 1,000 uses out of it. They have one pair of shoes, not 56. They have one pair of pants, not 14. They have one shirt that they wear every day. They have one coat, maybe a sweater with holes in it. I'm saying today we live in a great country and we have failed to acknowledge who gave us this country. We failed to acknowledge why we have the freedom we have today. And friends, come back to this and don't you lay your head down on your pillow tonight without thanking God for all that he's done. And by the way, it's not just all of the material things. We have our salvation in Jesus Christ. You ought to thank God every day for that. You and I were headlong into hell at one point and some precious soul or saint came our way and shared with us the gospel and we got saved. I'm saying today, we've gotten so arrogant. We've gotten so proud of who we are. And you think it's going to go the way it's going? We ought to take a little trip back in history, and you don't got to go very far. If you're reading through the Old Testament today, you have a history lesson right there. And the greatest nation that parallels America, I'll stop here, was Jerusalem, was Israel. We got most of our laws, form of government, and operation manual as a country from this book. The nation of Israel parallels us. Now let's go back and look at this. What happened in the end? The prophets came, Daniel, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Malachi, Micah, Hosea, Amos. They said, repent, turn back to God, or you'll go into captivity. Nah. They took Jeremiah, who's known as a weeping prophet. They took and beat him, threw him down in a pit, and left him there to starve to death. For one reason, he preached the word and told them, you need to come back to God or else we're all going to die. Now think about that. They warned them, and the ultimate demise of that nation was they went directly into captivity. And we get this idea today in America that, well, everything's going to keep going as it's going. See, none of us know persecution. None of us have really faced that. There's coming a day, though, according to the Bible, that we will depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and follow demonic teaching. We find it today. My friends, we come back. Now, we know the end result. It's not going to get better and better, but we get closer and closer to the Lord. And if you know that you're going to see somebody very soon, you're going to have a family reunion, you might want to make sure that you're on good terms with that person. If you're going to see Jesus real soon, you might want to make sure you're living right and doing what God's asked you to do. He said that we may be found of Him in peace. Pray for America today. Ask God to continue to do something. Now, we don't know the days ahead. We could have one of the greatest revivals America's ever seen. And I'm praying for that. You should pray for that as well. But the sad fact is that it will only last temporarily because of the Word of God clearly states to us there's an end to all of this. See, we can't just keep trucking down the road without stopping to get gas. And you could be having the greatest vacation you've ever had. This is awesome. Wow. And then you're pulled over on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere and get out like we did once, stuck on the side of the road. And the mosquitoes were this big. I don't know where we were. We were down south. And I went, oh no, get back in the car. You get stuck on the, what happened? Ran out of gas. Didn't think about that. Well, we just truck along. Everything feels great. Nobody looked at the gas gauge. America just trucking along. Everything's great. Debauchery, sinfulness, foul, ungodliness, nastiness in our world. Ball games today going on. 60,000 people. Standing room only. You can't even get a ticket to some of these football, baseball, soccer games. You can't even get a ticket. $350 a ticket. And people say, hey, I'll pay double just to get in there. Let me in. Just to stand in the back. I don't need a seat. I'll just stand there. And then we have church on Sunday. It's like, come on now. Come on. I mean, we got to have hot dogs and pastries and coffee to lure them. Come on now. Come to church now. Don't forget, tomorrow's Sunday. Don't forget. Be in church. Don't forget Bible time. Don't forget prayer time. We forget. And the Bible says this. There are nations that forget God. Those nations will be turned into hell. All of those that forget God. It's easy just to forget, isn't it? You and I today pray for our nation. I thank God for our nation. You ought to thank God for our nation. I know you do. But pray for our nation. God, what can I do to be effective? What can I do to be a witness for you in this day and age? It's only going to get worse, but there's still people out there, as we said on Wednesday, still people out there looking for the truth. They're looking for the truth. And I know you're asleep. Wake up. I'm almost done. They're still looking for the truth. Okay? And you and I can be an effective witness. You and I can be who we're supposed to be. Let me close with this. Sir, ma'am, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you stood before Jesus Christ tonight at the judgment, would you be with Him forever? Would He have to say, depart from me, I never knew you? Do you know Him today? Was there a time in your life when you received Him as your personal Savior? I hope you have. If you've never done that, again, I say it each week, but I'd like to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. That's not just rhetoric. That's not just a cliche statement. I'd really like to show you. Son, daughter, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you have Him as your Savior? Do you know Him? You say without a shadow of a doubt, oh yeah, I know Him. There's fruit in your life if you are truly saved. You have a desire to be around the things of God. You have a heart to want to see people saved. You want to do right for His glory, for His sake. Would you pray for our country?